Good morning. I invite you to pray with me this morning as we look at God's Word together. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your Word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 139. Please listen for God's word to you. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become light night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. So good morning. It is a wonderful gift to be here together to worship when there are so many concerns in this world. We know many have decided wisely that they needed to stay home to protect their health. And we pray that even as those who are at home for whatever reason will feel our love and our prayers, that they are still part of this community of God's people. We have looked on the last 2 weeks on some of the provisions for pilgrimage found in Psalms as we move through Lent. Scripture was the first week and prayer the next. And today we're looking at the spiritual practice of self-examination as we grow, as a way to grow in our walk with the Lord, using Psalm 139. Now, the idea of being examined might feel like something we want to avoid. During the time Paul and I were raising our kids, at one point we owned a little yellow station wagon. It was a K car, whatever that means. And with four children, three would sit in the back, and one would have to sit in the front, in the middle, between mom and dad. And usually one of the two younger kids would get that honor, which no one wanted, and because that place was known as the hot seat. It seems like the ride to church turned into mom's opportunity to carefully examine how well that child in the front seat had taken care of getting ready for church. How well were their teeth brushed? Was their hair okay? And then, of course, a little bit of spit to get that egg off the face or toothpaste off the shirt. You guys know what I mean. It was uncomfortable. It was an uncomfortable place to be put under scrutiny. Now, you may wonder why the spiritual practice of self-examination would be important for a person wanting to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Our great reformer, John Calvin, gives us this insight. Nearly all the wisdom we possess, that is to say, true and sound wisdom, consists in two parts: the knowledge of God and of ourselves. Without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. Without knowledge of God, there is no knowledge of self. We come to know God, and with him we are able to look at ourselves in the truest sense. Last month at the Eco National Gathering, one of the main speakers was a woman named Ruth Haley Barton, whose life work is focused on spiritual formation. And this is what she said: self-examination is a practice that facilitates spiritual awakening, an awakening to the presence of God as God really is, and an awakening to ourselves as we really are. So we're going to start looking at this psalm by looking at the final verses first. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we read and pray these words of the psalmist David, we're extending an invitation to God to help us know ourselves better, to help us to notice what is in our hearts, in our thoughts, and to discover any way that we might be offending God in our life. How can the psalmist have the guts to pray that prayer? I think some of us might think, I don't want to know how bad I am. Clearly, there is safety, though, and trust in the relationship between the Lord and the psalmist. Clearly, there is a basis upon which this relationship is built that allows the psalmist to be willing to look at what we might call the good, the bad, and the ugly in his life. For David and for us, the invitation to be searched by God is motivated by a desire to live a life that is pleasing to God and to seek the transformation that comes from leaving behind our sin and our hurt and receiving the forgiving and healing power of God's love that's available to those who seek to walk with God. Before I share with you a possible process of self-examination that you might find helpful, I wanted us to look at some of the earlier parts of this psalm to help us understand why David and why each of us can have the trust and the courage to approach God with such a request, to say, search me. Some of you might like looking at this psalm in your Bible as we go along. So why are we able to ask the Lord to search us? Well, first, because he knows us. Beginning of the psalm, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it. You hem me in. You lay your hand on me. God has already searched us and has already knows us through and through. These verses articulate the soul's invitation to God to guide that self-examination process. I'm not inviting God to know me as he already does know me. I'm inviting God to help me know me. Why do I think the way I do? Why do I do the things I do? Do I need to change? How can you help me change? God's love for us sets us in a safe place to know and to be known. Why are we able to ask the Lord to search us? Well, because he's always with us. In verse 7, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? God's presence is everywhere. We simply cannot hide from the all-seeing eye of God. Whether the highest heavens, the deepest recesses of the earth, or the depths of the sea, the knowledge and discernment of God cannot be limited to any particular place, for God's sovereignty expands the entire universe. The Lord's hand will protect his child wherever he or she may be. It says, even there, Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Even in the dark places that we sometimes find ourselves, and we have all at one time or another experienced a dark place, a place of distress or suffering or sin, even in the darkness will not hide, be dark to you. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The light of God's love and truth are everywhere. Why are we able to ask the Lord to search us? Well, because God created us. It says, verse 13, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's creation. And can you see what David sees? Can you understand what he is saying? Friends, how often do you reflect on the truth that you, whoever you are, and everything that makes you, you, is created by God? We are a wonder to behold. God knows our personality. He knows our physical makeup, everything about us. David marvels at God's exquisite creation. We are wonderfully made. Are you able to thank God for how God made you? We were made with intention and with purpose. God knows the beginning and the end of our days. He says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We are created to be in relationship with God. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. We were created to live in appreciation of God's presence everywhere and experience the joy and assurance of God's watchful eye. We can live with a personal awareness of God's gracious purposes. The Lord has created each person as both a spiritual and a physical being. And although it's impossible to comprehend our Creator, God's love is real. Awake or asleep, we can still enjoy the presence of God. Why are we able to ask the Lord to search us? Because it's safe to be real with God. You may wonder what these verses talking about hatred are doing in this lovely psalm. Did you notice the tone? It's all search me, and then it's like, I hate these people. You're like, what? Said, do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. He's really emotional and passionate. Well, did you ever hear the phrase, be patient, God isn't finished with me yet? David still had some rough edges. He was still on the learning curve of holiness and renewal. But it was safe for him to show those things in his personality also. What he struggles with, what had not yet been transformed. I heard a phrase a few days ago that really made me think, especially in light of the virus crisis in our world today. And that phrase was catastrophic thinking. Dear me, the sky is falling mentality, exaggerating a crisis or going overboard with emotion. And although this is 100% a health crisis that we need to take very seriously, I suspect that the hoarding of hand sanitizer and toilet paper might reflect an aspect of our culture dealing with this catastrophic thinking. Sometimes our responses can be deeply emotional and fearful, and we need the Lord's wisdom to regain our peace, our stability. God is not fazed even one bit when we come to Him in honesty and say, please help me to sort this out, whatever may be the situation. Your wisdom is needed here, Lord. Help me to look at this through your eyes. It's safe before God to let it all show. Allow dark places to come into the light so God can clarify for us what is good and evil. Like David, we can show our dark places without fear of God abandoning us. God's desire is to bring healing and restoration to our minds and our hearts as we offer these troubling facets of our personality to the Lord. If the practice of self-examination, sitting with God in prayer, is one of the tools to a deeper relationship with God, and if understanding myself better allows me to know God better, then how does it work? Well, how can we incorporate that practice of self-examination into our prayer life? Well, some of you may already do this on a daily basis. You may even use these same words. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Inviting the Lord to search us is opening the way to know ourselves in a more honest way, to better understand what's inside of us, and increase our awareness of kind of just what's going on. I really like using that phrase, sorting things out with God. The spiritual practice of self-examination is setting time aside to sort things out with God. We must remember that self-examination is not about guilt or shame. It's not about self-condemnation. It's about being truthful before God and within ourselves about who we are, looking for where we sense the Lord working in our lives and where we feel perhaps the Lord's absence. As human beings, we have a deep longing to be known and to be loved unconditionally. Spending time in this kind of a prayer can lead to a sense of secure love and a sense of freedom as the Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit, works to transform our lives. Now, I'm going to share with you a model of self-examination. There are many, and I think all are good, but this is one that I sometimes use. And I actually have left some copies of that somewhere out there. You'll find them. And if you don't, get in touch with me. I can send you a copy. Something I've used is called the prayer of examine. And it's a kind of a prayerful reflection of our experience with Jesus over a specific time period. Some people use it once a week, some once a day, and sometimes people use it at the end of the day, but it really, we can use it any time that feels right. And it helps us to pay attention to where we sense God's presence in our daily lives. I'm going to kind of go through, explain a little bit of this, so I'll embellish a little. First, we sit quietly and remind ourselves that we're in God's presence and invite the Holy Spirit to guide us as we review our day, our week. And then we walk through the events of the day in our mind. Sometimes I like to light a candle or I'll play some soft music just to make that kind of time feel like it's set aside with God. And then we ask to notice the times when we were aware of God's presence. How did that feel? And we give thanks to God for those times. I mean, I know recently when I was kind of reviewing the week, I thought I rejoiced with that I was able to hear from a friend who had this wonderful spiritual breakthrough. And I'm like, thank you. I'm just so thrilled, Lord, to hear that. And, you know, I mean, Paul and I went to the dog park with the puppies, and it was like so joyful. And even a community of people who bring dogs to dog parks, I don't know. But I feel like sometimes you have this kingdom of God days where it's just beautiful and peaceful. And so I thanked God for those times. When we worship, often I thank God for our worship service. You know, that's time to be with our family, God's people. Then we look at, is there anything for which we're sorry? Maybe we ignored God's nudges, where maybe there was something we were prompted to do, to call someone or to do a kind act, and we decided we just didn't want to do it. And we just take some time, you know, to confess that to God and to receive God's comfort or forgiveness, because sometimes we willfully sinned, but sometimes it might be someone hurt us too, and we just have to sit with that and seek to forgive as well as to receive forgiveness. And then I've kind of added this one for this particular time. Is there anything specific you want to ask for the Lord to give you help or understanding or clarity? And take a few moments to listen. And this is kind of something extra if there's something particular going on. And I have found with this crisis that we're going through right now, we need God's wisdom as per individuals and as a community to know, how am I supposed to be in this time? And I think it's not to be wacky, but I think it's to be thoughtful and respectful of even our government, respectful of what's being asked of us, but at the same, and really honoring one another, because maybe one person might be healthy, but another more vulnerable, and, you know, to honor all people. So it's just, you know, that has been something, it's like kind of been an extra piece because of that. And then end the prayer by asking for more grace, really just to be aware of God's presence. And then close with a time of thanks. So what I'm going to do now is invite all of you to just go through that prayer with me, that kind of form of prayer with me, as we close. So I invite you, if you are comfortable, to close your eyes, but we're just going to sit quietly. This is going to be like a mini Reader's Digest condensed version of this, but we will, you know, go through the steps so you'll have an idea what it is. So first of all, I invite you to sit quietly and remind yourself that you are in God's presence, and invite the Holy Spirit to guide you as you review your day or your week. And now walk through the events of that day or week. And notice those times you were aware of God's presence, and how did that feel? And give thanks to God for those times. Now, is there anything for which has come to your mind that you're sorry for? Confess that to God and receive God's comfort or forgiveness. Is there anything specific you want to ask for the Lord's guidance or to give you help or understanding or clarity? Take a few moments to listen. Now we end the prayer by asking for more grace to be aware of God's presence. And we offer a time of thanks. And dear Lord, now we do give thanks for these moments that we have shared. We ask that you would help us to live aware of your love and your presence in our daily walk. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.